So hi everyone, welcome back to Weekly Business Podcast Barfi. So today I'm joined by Isaac Mashman. So hi Isaac, can you share your take on personal branding?
Hey, thank you for inviting me on and jumping right to it. I love that. Personal branding is misunderstood. That's the one thing that I would say. That's my take on it. A lot of people only focus on what they do whenever they're building up their personal brand, yet they fail to realize that the thing that makes them unique, the thing that makes them stand out, the thing that establishes their longevity is people are following them for who they are. But if you're able to take your personality, position yourself, and also take what you're doing professionally, you get this amazing synergy to where you're able to direct the audience that are following you to help you grow a business, help you grow your career. And it's powerful and oftentimes misunderstood. It goes back way before the 1930s, when people think that Napoleon Hill coined the phrase. It goes back until the earliest man. How do you think Pharaoh stayed in power for hundreds of years and generations? Kings in, you know, England stayed in power, and people who changed the world. And so that's a very short take on personal branding, not to jump too far into it.
That's awesome. I think the biggest takeaway for the audience today is that personality and being professional and having a kind of synergy between the two will make for a very powerful personal brand. So I wanted to kind of understand, so then what kinds of content should one be creating to create this kind of synergy?
You've already asked some really exceptional questions just super early on. I gotta give you a pat on the back for that. Well, and here's the thing though. If you think about your favorite celebrity, the person that you're following right now, you don't know them for what they do. You know them for who they are. If we think back to some of the greatest leaders of mankind, Martin Luther King, presidents, you know, political figures, a lot of times we don't know them just for the politician, but for the way they hold themselves. Are they a family-oriented individual? Do they have children? What are their core beliefs? It's not just the fact that they're a politician or a celebrity. It's who they are or what's interesting about them. And so let's say you're somebody who's interested in venture capital, right? You're somebody who wants to get involved with venture capital as an investor, or maybe you have a startup that you want to pitch to a venture capital firm. You know, obviously you're going to talk about your startup and what you're doing. So let's say you're providing a specific solution, talk about that solution and talk about that. But then personally, give the venture capitalist a reason to believe in you as the founder, somebody who is conscious about their reputation, somebody who's conscious about what they're doing. And it, you know, right now I'm super aggressive on short form vertical content, such as Reels, YouTube Shorts, TikTok videos. The algorithms are your friend. They're not your enemy. And a lot of people believe that algorithms are your enemy, but they want to keep people on the platform. They're pro-creator and kind of anti-consumer because they're keeping consumers addicted. But definitely short form vertical video. And what I would say on the personal aspects, if I was to give a couple examples, if you're taking a trip, highlight your trip. If you're going out for a nice dinner, highlight that dinner. If you're waking up and drinking a cup of coffee, I've sold clients off of the fact that I drink my coffee a specific way and people know me for that. And the moment that you veer into that and show some of your personality, people have additional layers of connectivity with you, additional layers of rapport.
Awesome. So I think you had a great point on showing your personality. So now my next question is, so you'd mentioned about short form vertical videos. So my next question is, so how do you grow on TikTok? So I've seen that you have quite a following on TikTok. So could you share any kind of lessons that you've learned growing on TikTok and just lessons on social media in general?
Well, TikTok, I grew a lot of that audience over the past couple of years. And one of the biggest things was collaboration and creative content. Now, as a businessman or somebody who is an entrepreneur or has an interest in finance or economics, it's not as sexy and it doesn't have as much of an appeal as, let's say, an entertainer. It's much easier to grow as an entertainer. But if you can merge the two, if you can somehow find how to provide somebody with something that's educational or informative while also being entertaining, that's a great tactic. And so, you know, one of the examples of a video that everybody loves and I haven't done enough of lately is Buy My Service, Bro. And I would take the worst sales pitches that I would ever get and I would react to them and I would just break down the sales pitch and I'd be like, on this episode of Buy My Service, Bro, we got this dude over here who doesn't know the first thing about this, or this is an automated response. But that was really creative. So it merged the educational aspect and it also tied in with the entertaining aspect. And so get creative with it. And I would say take and write down an entire list of ideas, of pieces of content or topics that you could talk about. And it doesn't have to be some super highly polished video. I've talked to so many people lately, and it's like they're afraid of putting out content because of the quality. They think that it has to have every single subtitle and it has to be perfect. But at the end of the day, the content that is the least polished a lot of times performs better than the content that is polished.
Yeah, you made a fantastic point on least polished. I think a lot of people go in with this mindset that their content has to be really super top notch and all. But I also believe that having the least polished thing, at least you're churning out the content, you're getting in those reps. And so my next question is, so how do you leverage your personal brand and any trend?
One more thing to the previous conversation, it's that having a highly polished video that, you know, the better the camera quality, the better the microphone, the better. But if you don't have that right now, don't think that you're unable and unable to create something that, you know, educates, entertains, or inspires and motivates somebody. And so when it comes to personal branding today in 2022, you know, in May at the time that we're recording this, I mean, leveraging your personal brand to grow your business really boils down to talking to as many people as possible about what you have going on. Your goal should be to be known by every single possible person. And there's no such thing as being an introvert and growing your personal brands. You know, and even if you wanted to be an artist that only drops on occasion and you don't go out, it's like you're rolling the dice and you're taking risks. But if you're in a business, you can't afford to be introverted and you can't afford not to grow out your personal brand, because that's how you're going to survive past, you know, your current business. Let's say you want to pivot a decade from now from the business that you're doing, and you're not known as the founder, you know, how do you expect to get the same success with your next venture? You can't. It's going to take you just as much. But if you connect with people and now they're following you for you as the man or the woman, the person, that means that they're going to follow you no matter the business, no matter the model. And it boils down to marketing, you know, letting people know what you got going on, and not being afraid of promoting yourself and promoting that offer, promoting that business, promoting the article that you wrote or the article that you're featured in. Take it serious and treat it like a business.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think the biggest takeaway from the audience today is to promote yourself, promote what you have going on, and just become a familiar face to people. So you mentioned in that kind of segment about networking. So I wanted to kind of get your take on how do you approach audience building?
Well, audience building is a form of networking. It's just the thing is, people will know you and you might not always know about them, because at the end of the day, that's your goal. And I hate to break it down and say it that way, but it's the honest truth. Your goal is to get so big, to become so well known that you can't possibly know every single person that knows you. But you'll have all of these people who know about you, who follow you, who support you. And then come time, you know, maybe you run into them in person or they reach out and say, hey, you've helped me in X, Y, and Z ways. You're like, wow, that person gets on your radar. Now, when it comes to networking, you have to have an intention with what you're doing. But every person you come in contact with, I was recently in Washington, D.C. for an event with Meta, and I had the opportunity of meeting and networking with, you know, 500 other business owners. Although I knew that I wouldn't be able to work with every single person that I came in contact with, and maybe they wouldn't be qualified or there wouldn't be, you know, a great synergy, I knew that they would either be able to support me by my book, or maybe they know somebody who also needs what I have. Everybody needs what I have and what I offer. But at the end of the day, that word of mouth travels far. And that's how you can also build out your audience, through the form of networking and through building out a referral offer. And I have a very simple strategy called the power of three, where you send out and you connect with three new people every single day. If you connect with three people every day for a year, you've connected with over 1,000 individuals. And then that number begins to compound because those 1,000 remember you and start to share what you have going on.
That's a fantastic point on the power of three and connection. So my next question is, so how do you kind of build out these connections? How do you reach out to people?
For LinkedIn, on example, you know, whenever you're connecting with somebody, let's say a mentor or somebody who's successful in business, or somebody that you view as somebody who's, you know, a mentor of yours, a virtual mentor, approach them as their equal. You know, fill out your profiles, fill out your social media pages, and show the world what you have going on. I mean, it's a first impression kind of thing. But if you're sending them a message and a connection request, Don't say, oh my God, I'm your biggest fan. Say, hey, it would be an honor to connect with you. Love what you have going on. Cheers to massive success this year, period. Twitter, for example, the way that we got connected, you and I, is I made a simple tweet that said, whose podcast should I be on? And you saw that and you're like, hey, let's do it. And then you sent out a message, I said, send me a DM. We got a date set up and here we go. And now this is the beginning of a great working, you know, relationship, a friendship. And so that's as simple as it can be. It doesn't have to be complicated. It does require you to get out of your comfort zone at times and to find and have those conversations, but be more interested in the next person. And what you'll notice is the more interest and the more questions you ask about the next guy, the more they're going to start asking you about what you have going.
This point you've mentioned on being more interested in the next person and as a way to kind of fuel this connection, could you share a bit on your newest book?
Yes, 100%. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to kind of highlight that. So I wrote my first book that came out last year on November 1st, called Personal Branding, A Manifesto on Fame and Influence. And that reached the number one new release and a top 10 bestseller in public relations on Amazon. Super grateful, you know, for every single person who's bought a copy of it. And the best way I could summarize it is I talk about the what and why of personal branding. What is your personal brand? Why is it important? And then I start talking about how can you start building out a short read, less than 100 pages, take you an hour and a half. But I focus on principles. I focus on things that will last, even surpassing and you know, going past the days of social media. There are so many books out there now that focus on specific platforms, specific techniques, and half these platforms that they talk about and what worked yesterday might not work today. And in this book, I talk about things that will work regardless of platform, regardless of media outlet, regardless of that. And it's available on Amazon. It's available on my website by going to isaacmashman.com/book. And it's been a great experience and I'm looking forward to kind of expanding on it in the future.
That's fabulous. And so my next question is, so how do you secure PR and how do you become a go-to source for the media?
It boils down to positioning. Are you positioning yourself as everybody else, somebody who looks like everybody else? Or are you positioning yourself as a public figure, as a thought leader, as an authority? And it's going to take some time to get your first pitch. But let's say, right, you're somebody who has a podcast. So now you go and whenever you're creating and formulating a pitch, you put a sentence together saying that I am the host of X, Y, and Z podcast, which has charted in X, Y, and Z country, or that I started in this year and have produced dozens of episodes of something like that. You make an attractive and appealing sentence that positions you. It highlights what you have going on. If you have a business, highlight the previous awards. Doesn't need to be anything too crazy. But then you pitch yourself. There are a lot of great resources out there. But the other thing is journalists and things today, you know, people are constantly looking for new sources. And the best networks, the right networks, they're never going to ask you to pay for a placement. And I have to tell you that if somebody approaches you and says, hey, I can get you an X, Y, and Z source, look in the opposite direction and realize that that's not true. Or if they are saying that you have to pay, the source isn't worth your time. I've secured literally 38 placements since the beginning of 2021, and I haven't paid for one of them out of pocket. And the reason I did that is I positioned myself. And so put together a media kit, put together a series of information about you, put, you know, photos. Like in this episode, in the booking process, you know, I provided my media kit to help you with promotion, to help you understand what I got going on, and, you know, highlight some of the things that I think are worth talking about. And from there, we've been able to have an excellent interview and an excellent conversation. But don't be afraid to talk about yourself, because if you can't talk about yourself, how do you ever expect somebody else to feel comfortable talking about you?
I think your last point was absolutely powerful. And the biggest takeaway that I got from this was to have an attractive positioning and also to put together a media kit. So my next question is, so how do you, I want to pivot into podcasting. So what kinds of content should you be creating for podcasting, whether it be short form, vertical, or long form? And what's your take on that? And then Separately, how do you source guests for your show? Any kinds of templates, strategies, anything you'd like to share today?
We're doing this in a masterclass format. I'm going to have to take this podcast and turn this into a webinar. So when it comes to podcasting, like I said, it's a great way to, you know, establish your credibility. And we were talking about this a little bit before we started the interview. But let me go ahead and cover sourcing guests right now. Validate people and validate their success, validate their claims. It's easy to just say, hey, I've done X, Y, and Z, but actually do some research on them. Are they who they say they are? Do they have a positive reputation? Have they done something that's worthwhile or worth talking about? And even if you're not in business, but let's say you're running an entertainment-based podcast, find people who, you know, are entertaining and people that you think you could have a great conversation with, because if there isn't any chemistry between you and the guest, it's just going to be one awkward conversation. And there have been times in the past where I've interviewed somebody and I have, you know, not published the interview because I didn't feel like it was something that I really felt strongly about. There are platforms out there where you can find guests and have guests pitch you, such as podmatch.com, matchmaker.fm, guest.io with Travis Chappelle, you know, and so there are different resources that way, but you're going to get pitched by 100 different people. But it's also important to kind of define what your show's about and what you got going on. Content wise, be consistent with it. If you're going to do an episode, and this is one of the biggest challenges I've been facing and I faced over the past several years of having my own show, is being consistent with the content. And it's best to schedule it out ahead if you can, to where you record your episodes on a Sunday, you publish them on a Monday and a Friday, you have it scheduled out. And I would say that when it comes to promoting it on social media, you know, having a separate link on your website or creating a website for your show using, let's say, PodPage, or creating a simple website through Wix or Weebly, is going to help you a lot better than not promoting your show at all. It boils down to promotion, and go into it with a long-term mindset, because the average podcast never surpasses 20 listeners per show and never surpasses 20 episodes. And so, you know, the fact that you've even recorded 30 and going on 40 and 50 and 60 means that you've already beat the statistics. And so go into it with a long-term mindset, be committed to it, treat it like a business, and tell every single person that you know about it, because you're doing the show for a reason.
Awesome. I think the biggest takeaway was the long-term mindset and to have a separate dedicated kind of podcast page. So my next question is, so what's the future of your podcast, your book, anything you got going on?
Go ahead and take the time to talk about Mashman Ventures, you know, my public relations firm. We're expanding the team. We're providing and creating a ton of different resources right now for our clients. I'm going to be rolling out a group training program later this summer. A lot of really, you know, wonderful ways to help people build out their personal brand. We say that we help create, maintain, and scale unrivaled personal brands. And a lot of people have the ideas, they have the energy, but they don't have the knowledge and how to execute. They don't know the how. That's the biggest question. How do I do this? How do I get out there? And you've been asking all of the how questions, not of the what or not the hypotheticals, but you're asking, how do I do this? And I think that that's excellent. And that goes and shows how you are, the preparation that you did. But I'm going to be scaling out Mashman Ventures, you know, bringing on some more consultants there, as well as buying some new properties and focusing a little bit on my other two businesses that I have, Mashman Investments and Mashman Properties, looking to get some things moving very, very quickly. Kind of getting impatient in certain areas.